Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad you're here today. We can worship together this morning. And you know, we can continue to worship God and do devotions all week long. You know, every week in the bulletin, there's the insert, Taking Faith Home, that's got daily readings and prayers and activities in it for individuals and families to do. We get these from an organization called Milestones Ministry. We just copy them and put them in the bulletins for all of you guys to use. Well, recently, several people let us know that in the daily readings that they were doing, there was a reading in there from Proverbs 37, which is great, except that the book of Proverbs only has 31 chapters. Oops. You know, they were close. At least it wasn't Adverbs 37 or something. Well, nobody's perfect. That's why we're all here today, because none of us is perfect. So stand, greet each other, and say, it's okay, I mess up too. And you can remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 632. It's fall and it's time to clean up the yard and clean up the garden. And so I was doing that recently and took a load out to the Shaw Avenue compost site, got out there, and I saw that somebody had left their car on top of the compost pile. There's a closer view there. It's like, wow, imagine the legs on that kid, right? But I was thinking about that. I thought, well, if you're going to illegally dump, you might as well do it with a sense of humor, right? It reminded me of something that Martin Luther once said. He said, if you're going to sin, which we all are, he said, then sin boldly, but let your trust in Christ be bolder. We're all here today because we are in need of God's grace through word and sacrament. We have all sinned. Some of us have sinned boldly, but we trust even more boldly that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Please join me in the prayer of the day. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Today's reading comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. The night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He ran and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream. And likewise, everything that he had, Jacob, was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. He struck him on his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, What is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans, and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, Please tell me your name. But he said, Why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, For I have seen God's face. Place Peniel, saying, For I have seen God's face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him, and as he passed Peniel limping because of his lep. Here ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me for the children's message. And as they come, let's sing Children of the Heavenly Father, one verse. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Glad to hear that. You did a nice job reading today. Thank you for doing that. So let me see your fingers. Okay? So fingers are good for a lot of things, right? You can use them to hold on to things, right? Like this microphone. What else? What else are fingers good for?
For, like, touching and feeling stuff.
Okay.
Finger food.
Finger food. You have one, Carson?
Playing the piano.
Oh, yeah. Can't play it with your nose, can you? Well, you can, but not very well. What do you think? Can you think of one?
Folding your clothes.
Ooh, folding your clothes. You do that? Good job.
Praying.
All right. Good. So there are a lot of things that fingers are good for, but, you know, a lot of times we like to use our fingers to get what we want, right? So Caleb did a great job of reading our first lesson today about Jacob, who used his fingers to wrestle. And he wrestled with God's angel trying to get what he wanted from God, right? But, you know, a lot of people use their fingers to try to get what they want. Like babies will do that, right? So like a baby goes like this. Right? That's what babies do. Is it weird to hear my voice coming from this space? So, that's okay for babies to do that, right? By the way, this is my Halloween mask. That's okay for babies to do that, but what if you were still doing that when you're 5? Or 15? Or 53? Still using your fingers to try to get what you want for yourself? Or 102, right? It's still not appropriate, right? It's not cool to do that. But, you know, sometimes we do that, though, with our prayers. We try to use our fingers to get what we want for ourselves from God. So I want to show you a different way, okay? A different way to use your fingers to pray. Put your hand up, okay? Like this. Okay, this is called the five-finger prayer, okay? And it'll help you to remember how to pray. Touch your thumb. Your thumb is the finger that's closest to you, so it reminds you to pray for the people who are the closest to you first, like your family and your friends, okay? touch your index finger. This is the finger that we use for pointing. And so this reminds us to pray for the people who point us in the right direction, like our teachers or our coaches or our Sunday school teachers or pastors, anybody who helps point you the right way, you pray for them. Okay, touch your middle finger. This is the tallest finger, and so it reminds us to pray for the powerful people. So we pray for the people who have power, like the ones in the government who run our city and our state and our country. We pray for them. Touch your ring finger. Okay, ring finger is actually the weakest finger on your hand. And so it reminds us to pray for the people who are weak, like people who are sick, or maybe people who are hungry or poor or suffering in any way. It reminds us to pray for those people. And finally, touch your pinky. Your pinky is the last finger on your hand, and this is the one that reminds you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself last. Everybody else first, yourself last. And it's the smallest finger, and so you ask for the least for yourself. Everybody else comes first.
That's, pinky was the weakest.
Nope, it's this one. Here, let me see. It's about the same. Well, I've been working it out, so. All right, so it's all right there on your hand to teach you how to pray. And so to help you remember that, and so you can do it at home with your family, your parents, or whatever, I'm going to give each of you a bag that's got a little card in it that explains the five-finger prayer that you could do, and each bag has two gummy fingers in it because gummy fingers are cool and yummy, all right? So everybody, let's use our fingers, fold our hands, bow our heads. Everybody repeat after me. Thank you, God, for my fingers that teach me how to pray. Help me to use them. Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys, and sharing with me. Go over and see Susan, and she will give you your bag. And let's stand for the gospel acclamation. The gospel for today is written in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
And you may be seated.
Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama! 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 Ma! 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 Mom! 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 Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Pray like that, Jesus says. Pray like that. Be persistent, even annoying. Keep praying, Jesus teaches today, even if you're not getting what you want. So how's your prayer life? I hope it's good. I hope you're feeling good about it, comfortable. You feel like you and God are where you need to be. But, you know, if you're like most people, you're probably kind of thinking, I could use some improvement, right? A lot of people, I think, you know, I should pray more. And I'd really like to have that connection with God. I'd like to feel that connection, but a lot of times it's just not there. Or maybe you've been praying for something really important to you for a long time, and it's just not happening, and you're frustrated that you're not getting what you want, and you're wondering, what's the point? Is anybody even listening? Does prayer even matter? I'm wondering, why is God so unfair? Jesus just seems to know that our lives are going to be full of obstacles, that we're going to experience heartbreak, that we're going to have worries, that we're going to have burdens we're going to have to carry throughout our life, that we have struggles with each other and with ourselves, that sometimes God is going to seem so unfair and unjust, and it's hard to pray. Jesus got it. He got it. He felt it. He understood what it's like for his disciples. And so he tells this parable. He makes up a story about our need to pray continually, about a woman who has suffered greatly in her life, who comes to a judge, and she's not getting what she wants, but she comes again and again and again and again, and Jesus' message is keep praying. Just keep praying. And right before this, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is talking to his disciples about Noah and how he went through great suffering and hard times, and about Lot and how difficult life was for him. And the point is that life was hard for them, and it will be hard for you too, both his disciples then and for us today. But he says, keep praying, even when God seems unfair. Keep praying, even if your life feels like this.
I'm in debt. I have 2 car payments, 4 years into a 30-year mortgage, balances on a couple credit cards, plus college for 3 kids on the horizon. 0 savings. I work long hours at a job that I hate. And despite all that, all I get is stress about how I can make more money. I take 4 pills a night for my back pain. Some days, getting up seems like too much. I struggle with dyslexia. I have high cholesterol. I overeat a little too often. I'm trying to get in shape. But it's never, I mean never enough. My dad died 5 years ago from cancer. I should have seen him more before he passed. Man, I miss him so much. Everyone expects me to be over it. But it's something that I still deal with daily. I haven't taken my wife on a date in 4 months. I practically forgot our anniversary. My kids need me when I get home, but it's late. I want to sleep. I spend my weekends at their functions, as if that's enough. All this, and I still resent my family, because I have no time just for me. I can be amazingly selfish. I'm often angry, seemingly for no reason. I had dreams for my work and my family, and I abandoned them long ago. I think I'm a realist, and I come off as a pessimist. I feel restless knowing something is missing. I have too many burdens. They're suffocating. And this is the weight I carry.
Even still, keep praying. Keep praying. The weight is often heavy, the road is difficult, but Jesus tells us to keep praying, because praying isn't just about getting everything we want. It's not about getting our wish list. That's me on my dad's motorcycle with my dad peeking around the corner to make sure I'm not messing it up or anything. And, you know, my dad and I, when I was a kid, we lived indifferent world, right? He went off to work every day. I didn't really know what he did, what was happening in his world, what responsibilities he had. I knew he worked at a company and he ran a printing press. And I knew that when he came home from work every day, he was always really tired, but I didn't know why. And I knew that the company where Dad worked had changed names a few times. I didn't know what that meant. I thought they just wanted a new name. I didn't know that every time the name of the place he worked changed, it was because there was a new owner, and there were new bosses, and there were new rules and procedures, and there was always more work and usually less pay. I didn't know that. I knew that Dad came home every day with ink stains on his hands and on his clothes, but I didn't know how they got there or why. I knew that on Fridays he got paid and he would bring home all the stuff that we needed, but I seldom got the stuff I wanted, right? And I knew that sometimes Mom and Dad had to go off into their bedroom alone and talk about things without the kids around, but I didn't know why. We lived in two different worlds. But then, on Take Your Child to Work Day, our worlds would come together. I went to work with my dad, and I saw these giant rolls of paper that he had to lug around and to wrestle with to get onto the printing press, and I saw those big heavy boxes of printed forms that he had made that he had to get down to shipping, and I realized why he was tired when he came home at the end of the day. And I saw how he had to mix the ink up to get it ready for the printing press. And I saw how he had to sponge the rollers off after every printing job. And I realized why he always had ink all over his hands and all over his clothes. And I heard other coworkers, you know, they'd stop by and say hi, and then they would just kind of talk. And I heard the other coworkers, you know, kind of talking about who got laid off yesterday or what the rumors were about what was coming down the pike, and I realized why it is that maybe I didn't get everything I wanted, and why maybe Mom and Dad had to go and talk privately sometimes. On Take Your Child to Work Day, Dad's world and my world overlapped. Our worlds came together, and I saw things through a different perspective. I saw things more from my dad's perspective, and I realized how much Dad loved us, all the stuff that he did for us that I never thought about and never knew about. Well, I think prayer is really kind of the same thing. When we pray, God's world and our world kind of come together. They overlap. Prayer is that place where our worlds come together and we see God more clearly. We get God's perspective on things and we see more how God loves us. Or another way of looking at it, prayer is the way that we access that other reality, that hidden reality inside of us called the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom is with you, the kingdom is inside of you. Prayer is the way that we connect with that kingdom and with this other world that's going on all the time that we don't ever see. Prayer is a way that we connect with God, even when we're afraid, even when we're angry, even when we're frustrated. It's not just about getting what we want. Fred Craddock, who's a professor of preaching and New Testament at Emory University, said, "Only after you have knocked at the door until your knuckles bleed and you have still received no answer do you begin to understand what prayer is about." It's not a wish list. Prayer is putting God at the center of your life, even if it's not the life you wanted. It's about seeing things through God's eyes instead of your own. Prayer is kind of like this commercial.
Wow, I love Jell-O.
Why?
Well, imagine waking up every morning with a little less hair. Then driving to work in heavy traffic. Only to find out when you get there that the project you were working on for a year is suddenly canceled. Well, the chocolatey taste of Jell-O pudding makes up for all that.
Here, you need this more than me.
Getting pudding is great, But you know what's even better? Special time spent between parent and child. A special time spent where two worlds come together, where in that time there's understanding and love. A time that makes you feel better even if you didn't get what you wanted. That's what prayer is. And Jesus says, keep praying. Be persistent. Even if all you have to say to God is,
hi.
Amen. Let's stand and sing. Our next hymn is number 745. Let's proclaim together, we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And once again, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you give us access to you in prayer at all times. By your Spirit, help us to stay connected to you always, that we would see things more and more through your eyes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of love, we celebrate with you the wedding of Marty and Jenny Van Osdahl, married here yesterday. Strengthen and bless them and all couples in their life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope and strength, be with all who are in need. We pray today especially for Gladys Kellogg, Leon Isaacson, Dwayne Ortmeyer, Vivian Chestnut, Kaylee Michael, Ron Myers, Jack Holbert, Mike Lau, Sandra Link, and Dan Carey. We pray also for a safe and profitable harvest for farmers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We We lift up before you now, Lord, all those who are on active duty in the armed services and their families, especially Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. And we also pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. All right, so now it's time for the sharing of the peace. And the sharing of the peace is different from the way that we greet each other at the beginning of the service. The sharing of the peace isn't just a, hey, how you doing? At this point in the service, we have heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus proclaimed, and now we proclaim that to each other by saying, peace be with you. And it's not our peace that we're sharing the peace of Christ with each other. Jesus commanded us that before we come to the altar, we should share peace with our brothers and sisters, that we should be reconciled with one another before we come to the altar. And so, before we come to communion today, let's share the peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering hymn number 728. And please pray with me the offertory prayer printed in the bulletin. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And let's pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Everybody is invited to come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ today. We have both wine and grape juice. The grape juice is white, and in the center of the tray of cups, we have gluten-free wafers on both sides. Just tell your server you want gluten-free, and they will take care of you. Anybody who's not communing today can come forward to receive a blessing. Jesus is the host of this meal, and he invites us to come. The food of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. And you may be seated. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. A few announcements before we head out today. First, want to say thanks to Gary and Sandy Quaid for the altar flowers and the radio broadcast in honor of their wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary. I know you're over here somewhere. There you are. Looks like you got a whole crew with you today. Good job. Happy anniversary. And I'd like to invite Sherry Schaefer to come on up. And as Sherry's coming up, just a reminder that the Operation Christmas Child boxes are out. We talked about those last week. There's more information in the bulletin. If you want to do that, pick one of those up today and take it away, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you seen the signs? They're everywhere. Something is happening at St. John on November 10th. I'm here to invite you to brunch on that day. Now, this is not a traditional church meal because it's free. There is no free will offering. There's no having to bring bars. It's a catered meal, and you're all invited. You'll be receiving a letter in the next few days explaining the celebration that's coming and the plans for the brunch. November 10th will be called Consecration Sunday. It's a celebration for St. John, and we'll be having only one service at 9 o'clock on that day. Last Sunday, Pastor Russ, with his Lego sermon, reminded us that we have an awesome God who's given us everything. God gave me a talent, a musical talent. You often see me sitting right there. I've been singing in church since I was 4 years old, and have been involved in church music all my life. My parents impressed upon me that everything I have, including my talents, come from God, and it's my responsibility to thank God by using those gifts to serve him. It makes me feel good to give of my talents and blessings and share with God's people. Giving brings me a sense of meaning, joy, and fulfillment of my spiritual growth. So remember to say thank you to our awesome God and mark November 10th on your calendars as a must-attend service and a free meal. And kids, I understand Pastor Russ has something really special planned for you that day. Who can beat that?
Come and find out what. All right. So, hey, five finger prayer, adults, if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to know what that is. I can't remember all that. I have little half sheets of paper on a stand next to the guest book as you leave today. You can pick one of those up. Hey, Melanie, can we do birthdays today? All right. We haven't done October birthdays yet. So if your birthday is in October, please stand up. We want to recognize you. All right, wait, all of the ushers are having birthdays in October? Wow, okay. Tell us your birthday.
11th.
The 11th, okay.
28th.
26th. No repeat so far. The 4th. It's already gone. Happy, well, so is the 11th. All right, good. 16th.
16th?
All right. What about you, guy? Sorry, what? The 4th. All right. Oh, you have the same birthday as my dad. All right.